You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, and listeners, we have got such an interesting show in store for you guys today. I'm so looking forward to this one because joining me on the show is Dr. Amy Polks, who is a board certified equine internal medicine specialist. But specifically, what we're going to be talking about on this show is cardiology, our horses' hearts, how we keep them healthy, how we understand if things aren't quite as they should be, what the ways in which we can help our horses might be, all of that kind of thing. And I think it's a really important topic that actually we haven't spoken about anything like this on the podcast before. So Amy, first of all, thank you very much for coming on the show. We are delighted to have you with us. Can you give us an insight into your background and sort of where the interest came in cardiology for you?
Sure. Yeah. So my training is in internal medicine for horses specifically. And so when I was doing my residency program, one of my mentors was very interested in cardiology, and that sort of gave me an interest in cardiology. And then thereafter, it just really piqued my interest. I find it fascinating. And it's just always been an area that I've been interested in. So I've gone on and done, additional training for cardiology in, procedures and, as technology has changed and grown and our capability of doing cardiac evaluations in a farm setting, which my practice is based on internal medicine in the field, it's just really allowed me to pursue this love and interest of mine.
I bet the technology side is really interesting because actually there have been so many developments.
Fascinating.
Even in the last few years, a number of your colleagues have been involved in doing some really, really important research as well into cardiology in horses and I think specifically high performance horses.
Yes, yes. Certainly there's an interest in, how we keep these horses healthy and cardiac health and understanding, when things might go wrong, what, could we have prevented it? What are the things that, are problems that we see in high performance horses? And, again, I think prevention is the key. And is there anything that we can do to understand better if a horse is going to have a cardiac problem? Was there something that could have tipped us off that was going to happen? Or could we, have done anything prevention-wise, et cetera? So certainly a big interest. It's a devastating event if there's a problem with a horse during a high performance event. And so it's devastating to everybody involved. And so we like to try to prevent that.
I think one thing that everybody listening to this show is absolutely on board with, no matter what level you compete at, whether it is amateur level, whether it is professional level at the very top of the sport, we all want our horses to be happy and healthy. And ultimately, that is the goal. Everything everybody does in the barn and they look after them so beautifully, the teams behind the scenes, it's all about making them as happy and healthy as possible. So I think the first thing I want to ask you, it feels like it might be an obvious question, so forgive me, but what is a healthy heart? How do we classify a healthy heart?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Actually, no one's really ever asked me that before. So I would say, a healthy heart is the normal rhythm, right? So the rhythm is the electrical conduction of the heart and the heart beating and normal structures of the heart. So all of the valves and the way that the blood is flowing and the normal size of the heart, the normal function of the heart would be just a general healthy heart. And so what we're looking for when we're concerned about, cardiac abnormalities or problems is problems in any of those functions. And at what level? I mean, they can have problems at rest and they can have problems that's just during performance or exercise, but that are not seen at rest.
Okay, so in terms of different types of cardiac conditions, I'm sure there are, you know, lots and lots and lots of different ones, but let's cover a couple of the main ones. And I'm going to start with murmurs, heart murmurs. What are they? And what is the range of a heart murmur? Are they all the same or do they differ?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a heart murmur is just a disruption in the normal blood flow. So blood flowing in the opposite direction of how it's supposed to flow in the normal heart. And when we're listening to a murmur, we grade them on the grade scale that most people use would be a grade from 1 to 6, where grade 1 is barely perceptible. Grade 2 is, you know, definitely can hear it. And then, you know, louder and louder up to a grade 5 or grade 6, where you can actually put your hand on the horse's chest and feel the vibration of the murmur. And so again, like the disruption in blood flow and the murmur, that can just give us an idea of how, you know, loud it is, but it doesn't tell us what's actually happening in the heart. So you can have a softer murmur, but more cardiac changes, or a louder murmur and no cardiac changes. Generally, our cutoff for where we feel comfortable that we really need to look would be at least a grade 2 or higher. Grade 1 murmurs, like, you know, quiet murmurs, sometimes we can see little murmurs in very athletic horses or even people. And that's just the way that the heart is a muscle, and as their muscle develops, it can like pull the valve apart a little bit and you can get a little tiny murmur. But when you get to a grade 2 or more, we generally say it should be examined and looked at to see if there's a problem that we're worried about.
How common are they?
They are fairly common. And again, you know, murmurs are common, but again, there's different degrees. One of the things that I forgot to mention is what we call a physiologic flow murmur. When the horse's heart is beating fast, let's say after exercise, during a fever, colic, other things like that, the vessels of the heart are really giant. And sometimes you can hear blood flow through the vessels of the heart that sounds like a murmur. And we call that a physiologic flow because it's actually not a leak in the valve, and it will go away after the colic, after the fever, you know, because it's not actually a problem in the heart. And so when we think about encompassing all murmurs, they can be fairly common, but pathologic murmurs, murmurs that are really causing a problem for a horse, that's going to cause a problem in performance, are not, they're not uncommon, but they're not incredibly common, you know, and horses can certainly perform with some degree of murmurs with no problem.
Okay. How about arrhythmia? What is an arrhythmia?
So the arrhythmias is a whole different ballgame, because that's talking about the rhythm of the electrical conduction in the heart. And when we think about people having a heart attack or a horse having a heart attack, that's a rhythm disturbance. That's when the electrical conduction isn't going right and your heart is not beating right. And that can lead to a heart attack, a sudden death, devastating consequences, versus a murmur that's just blood flow in the wrong direction, which can sometimes lead to an arrhythmia, rhythm disturbance, if there's changes in the structure of the heart caused by the murmur. But an arrhythmia itself is the much more dangerous and concerning things. Now, within that, there's lots of different arrhythmias. One of the most common arrhythmias in horses is pretty normal. It's called second degree AV block. Horses have a really, what we call high vagal tone. They have a very low heart rate, and really fit horses will have a low heart rate and they'll drop a beat. But as soon as you walk them like up and down the aisle, that will go away, because that's just, it just has to do with their very low heart rate and conduction to the heart. And then there's some other arrhythmias that can happen right after exercise that are within normal limits, like something we call an APC or an atrial premature contraction. But when we have arrhythmias that are happening consistently, a lot of them, or certain types of arrhythmias like a VPC, ventricular premature contraction, those are a lot more concerning. And then it comes to concern for the health and the safety of the horse and the rider.
Okay, so with murmurs and arrhythmias, are there horses born with them? Do they develop them? How do they develop them?
Yeah. Another great question. Both. There are congenital murmurs. And so sometimes what happens is the valve doesn't form properly. And so instead of that valve having a nice tight seal, you get a leak at the valve. And so that can be a congenital abnormality. And then there's also acquired ones where you can have a valve that gets, you know, a little floppy, or the valve is actually held to the heart wall by these little tendrils called chordae. And so they kind of like anchor that valve to the heart wall. And sometimes those little chordae can rupture, and that can cause the valve to not work properly, and you can get a leak there. You can also get infections on the valve that cause endocarditis, which then cause a thickening of the valve. And then sometimes there are just age-related changes over time that cause a difference in the structure and the integrity of the valve that causes it to leak. So,
and with any of these, are they curable, or is it a condition that you then manage?
Yeah, none of them are really curable in the sense that we don't do cardiac surgery on horses or valve replacement like they do in people. And So a lot of it is more management of the situation, that is either we have drugs, you know, appropriate cardiac drugs that can help with the heart, you know, how the heart, the strength of the heart pumping, the flow in the blood, the pressure, et cetera, things like that. Or sometimes it's just, and more often than not, it's just a matter of monitoring and making sure that there's no changes over time, because you can have a murmur and you can have a little leak at a valve, but it may not change for 5, 10, 15 years, you know? And so we don't always know what's going to happen with that, but we can't really fix those things. Now, certain arrhythmias, you can fix if you get them back. You can get them back into what we call normal sinus rhythm. That's the normal rhythm. And so those are the things that can be fixed if there's no underlying other structural disease.
That was going to be one of my questions, actually, because in people, if a person has an arrhythmia as such, actually there's procedures that can be done in far more medical terms than I'm going to put them, listeners, of basically stopping the heart and restarting it again. Is that a similar format for horses? Is that how it works?
I would say the most common scenario that we talk about with that is atrial fibrillation. And atrial fibrillation is the most common, or one of the most common, arrhythmias in horses, pathologic, again, not like second degree AV block. And what happens there is the atria, the top two chambers of the heart, instead of contracting, they just fibrillate. So that's why it's called atrial fibrillation. And so there's several reasons why a horse can go into atrial fibrillation. One is that if they have a big leak in the heart and there's overload in the atria because of the leak, and the atria gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they go into atrial fibrillation, those are the cases where it's really hard for us to do anything to help that horse, because even if we put it back into normal rhythm, it's going to go back again into atrial fibrillation because there's a big structural change in the heart. Now, there are drugs that we can give them to sort of help, you know, help the stability. And also there are horses can be ridden in atrial fibrillation, but they often have exercise intolerance, and sometimes they just need to be repurposed to a lower level of exercise. Like, they may not be an event horse, but maybe they could go on a trail ride or do dressage or something else that may not be as strenuous as a very, very high performance horse. Then there's atrial fibrillation caused by anesthesia. You can have it caused by electrolyte abnormalities, sometimes idiopathic, we don't know. And if the structure of the heart is normal, but they're in atrial fibrillation, we can do either cardioversion, which is the shock, or there's a drug that we can give them to get them back into normal sinus rhythm. And those are the cases that would have a much better chance of staying in normal sinus rhythm because the structure of the heart is normal.
That's good. Okay, so if we have horses in our barn you know, maybe, as I say, whatever level we're competing at, but actually we've got horses at home and we want to make sure that their hearts are healthy. And, you know, we quite often will run our hands down their legs and we check their legs as a matter of course. They have their teeth done, the saddle check, the back check, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How should we be checking our horses' hearts to make sure they're healthy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that from a veterinary standpoint, you know, a veterinarian should listen to the horse's heart at least a couple of times a year, you know, whether it's during a routine vaccine appointment or just during a normal, you know, routine health exam, just to make sure that there are no murmurs or arrhythmias or anything else that's heard that would be concerning. As a horse owner, I think the most important thing would be really related more to fitness and exercise. And one of the things that I do during my evaluation of a cardiac case is sometimes we do an exercising ECG where we put an ECG on them and then the horse performs at their level of exercise, whether it's on a lunge line or they're ridden, whether it is, you know, walk, trot, canter, or they're going a cross country, you know, course. And things that we're looking for besides arrhythmias, et cetera, is even the heart rate and the heart rate at every level of exercise. And, you know, owners can get heart rate monitors. They make little monitors like Polar monitors for you know, people and horses that owners could understand or feel comfortable with what their horse's heart rate is at every level of exercise. So therefore, if, let's give an example, normally if you're, you know, doing a nice trot with your horse and the heart rate's 100 and one day it's 150, then the question is there something wrong with the horse's heart? Or it could just be that it's a super hot day and they're working too hard. They might be lame and they're in pain and that's a problem. They may have a muscle tie up or something. You know, there's lots of reasons that you can get an elevated heart rate, but just feeling comfortable with your you know, the levels of exercise with your horse and making sure that somebody, a trained veterinarian, obviously, is listening to the horse's heart once to twice a year, I think is really important.
It's amazing attention to detail, isn't it? You know, when you've done a bit of fast work with your horse, actually just paying attention to how quickly they recover, how comfortable they feel. And actually, you know, little things like that can really help give you an understanding of how they normally are. So all of a sudden, if something changes, the red flag goes up and you kind of think, okay, well, something's not quite right. We're going to get it checked out. What is the prognosis, you know, of these different conditions? So murmurs, grade one, not too much of a concern. But actually, if there's something a little bit more severe, we'll start with murmurs. What actually is the result of that?
Yeah, and I think that is so vast because it depends on what's causing the murmur, right? So let's take that little valve prolapse. If you have a little valve prolapse and let's say grade two murmur of the mitral valve, which is on the left side of the heart, probably one of the most common murmurs, or even a tricuspid, which is on the right side of the heart between the right atrium and the right ventricle, on the left between the left atrium and the left ventricle. So just a you know, low murmur. And just listening, you wouldn't be able to tell anything. But if somebody did a cardiac exam, again, can be done right at the farm, you do an ultrasound. If the structure and function is all normal, you know, horses can go on and do, you know, high performance exercise with no problem. Even if that heart starts to enlarge a little bit, you still can continue on as long as you are monitoring and watching it. So the nice thing about cardiac disease in horses or cardiac conditions in horses is that they do tend in general to progress slowly, and they tend to really be able to handle the problem very well. So it's more common to have a murmur than it is to have a murmur that's causing the horse a problem, if that makes sense. But if you have a more serious murmur, or a more serious leak, one of those chordae ruptures, and suddenly you have this big leak and there's enlargement of the heart, and the enlargement of the heart can lead to a rhythm disturbance, those carry a much more guarded prognosis, but it's a matter of looking at them and watching them over time.
the earlier you catch the murmur as such, the easier it is to manage, treat, and hopefully maintain it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that depending on where the problem is, there are cardiac drugs that we can use that will help to slow progression of the disease. And so I think of it in two ways. One is, can we, if we catch it early, if we're monitoring it, number one, there are some drugs that we can use to help slow progression. But number two is we can prevent a devastating event that could happen if nobody knew it was there and it progressed and then there was a bigger problem than we understood, you know. So we, you know, we can't always stop the enlargement or something from happening, but we can be aware that there's a problem there that we need to monitor and make sure. And maybe that's with, you know, just listening to the heart, maybe it's with exercising ECGs, you know, whatever it happens, maybe it's cardiac drugs, whatever it happens to be. But, you know, horses can perform at very high levels with a murmur. It just depends on the degree of the murmur and what the heart looks like on ultrasound. And, you know, we don't know until we look.
Have you got some sort of happy ending stories as such, where the prognosis actually has been managed really well and the horse has been able to continue on doing what it was doing before?
Oh, yeah. I would say I have way more of those than I do.
That's what not we like happy to hear. Ending stories. Yeah. We like the happy ending stories.
It is... amazing how well horses can tolerate cardiac disease. I have some horses that have had leaks of watch for 10 years that are high performance event horses, even some with enlargement of their heart, but it happens so slowly and they're trained correctly and we're monitoring and watching them and they do quite well. And so I would say more often than not, the case is that we do have a happy ending, but if there's a case where we don't, I would much rather find out before we, you know, send the horse across, you know, an event course or whatever happens, that we know that there's a problem that we need to be cognizant of, or we need to retire the horse or repurpose the horse because there's a problem. So, and we can't always, you know, find those problems ahead of time. But, you know, I feel like if we don't listen, if we don't look, we won't know. And I, you know, we can't always predict.
It's the question, isn't it, of what if I'd known, what if I'd checked, what if I had actually investigated or, you know, been listening to my horse's heart on a regular basis and kind of knew, or my veterinarian had been doing it and we kind of knew what was normal. You don't have that sort of what if there is a catastrophic or problem down the line. If our listeners are sat here listening to this thinking, okay, their horses are healthy, they're happy, everything is good, is there anything they can incorporate into their training that really does help keep the heart healthy?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is, just as we do with ourselves, is aerobic training, is not, you know, pushing beyond limits, you know, being very, very thoughtful with the training and moving up at appropriate levels. Also being cognizant of environmental things that are going to affect the horse, whether it is, you know, the ambient temperature, whether it's a hot day, a humid day, there's the, you know, fires that are going to cause smoke in the air. All of these things will have a profound effect on the heart, just like they would for us, and the respiratory system as well. Obviously, they work together, the heart and the lungs. And so I think the most important thing is really listening to your horse. If they're showing exercise intolerance and they can't do what they normally would do, definitely having it checked out, but also really being, you know, careful about not pushing them beyond the limits that they can go, not moving them up too quickly, but really being careful that they're ready for whatever level of exercise you're going to take them to.
Yeah, it's kind of going back to your training program, isn't it? And making sure that it's really fit for the purpose of what you're looking to do. So if you're looking to just compete at a low level and you're going to have to go cross country for sort of 5 or 6 minutes, at quite a low intensity, of making sure your horse is more than fit enough to do that. But also as you get up the levels or you have different levels of intensity that you need your horse to perform at, make sure they're really ready for that. If you sent me out to run a marathon, Amy, I guarantee, well, I can't guarantee it, but my heart would not be happy. My heart would not be happy with anybody, okay?
Exactly, yes.
Our horses would be the same. People listening to this show, if they could take one thing away from our conversation as to actually a piece of advice that you might be able to offer them or give to them, what would it be?
I think it's just not to forget about the heart, you know, that sometimes people really can focus on the musculoskeletal, you know, things. They're, you know, are they lame? How do their tendons look? You know, how are they moving? All those kinds of things. But that we just even just make sure that someone is listening to their horse's heart on a regular basis. Because sometimes me as an internal medicine specialist, I get out of my car with my stethoscope on. It's the first thing I always do. But you know, that's not, you know, for everybody, that's not what they do. I don't do any musculoskeletal lameness. So I, you know, I have a sort of different pattern that I follow. And I just think it's important that owners make sure and they take that upon themselves to make sure that a veterinarian is listening to their horse's heart, you know, at least a couple of times a year. And it doesn't, you know, the other thing I did not mention in here is that, you know, there's two sides to the horse. People will say, my vet listened to my horse or somebody listened to my horse right before they gave vaccines or something like that. But you have to, when I'm saying listening to the heart, I mean a careful auscultation for at least a minute to make sure that you don't hear any rhythm disturbances on both sides of the chest, because you can't hear the right side of the heart from the left. And there are things that happen on the right side of the heart that you would completely miss if no one's ever listened to the right side of the heart. And we unfortunately see that because it's very natural to listen to the left side. And so people don't always go. So that's my takeaway, is once to twice a year, 1 minute, both sides of the heart.
That's 4 minutes a year. 4 minutes a year, listeners. That's all it is. It's literally like boiling a kettle. That's all it is. 4 minutes.
Exactly.
I have to say, I find it really interesting when you talk about sort of muscular skeletal side of it. And, you know, we're so obsessed with lameness and are our horses' legs okay and all of the physical things that we can see, that actually people, you know, it's very easy to kind of presume that everything is okay. So if I was quicker, listeners, I would come up with some sort of fun slogan like love our horses' hearts or something. But basically, all you need to take away from this, 4 minutes a year, just find out what is normal for your horse and monitor it. Because if there is a problem, you'd rather find out about it, manage it, and be able to give your horse all the help that they need. And hopefully they will go on to continue in everything that they're doing and live a really, really happy, successful career still. But at least you're doing everything that you can to make sure that they are as happy and as healthy as possible. So, Amy, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And I feel like I've learned loads. So, listeners, I'm sure you guys have as well. But it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, 4 minutes. That is all it is going to take. In a year, make sure that your horse's hearts get checked, because it is something small that you can do that might just have an absolutely enormous impact. For that, though, that is all we've got time for. A massive, massive thank you to Amy. And if anybody wants to find out more about this, because I know we've only scratched the surface in terms of the kind of the detail that we could go into, where would you recommend that they go?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, there's a, you know, a lot of information that's out there. I have stuff on my personal website, so equineimed.com. I have some information there, et cetera. So I think, you know, and talking to your veterinarian and asking them questions would be good.
Ask the questions, listeners. As I've proved, no question is too silly. You might think it's a silly question, but it absolutely isn't. So go and ask them. Amy, thank you. Listeners, thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. That is all we've got time for, but we will be back very soon with more on the USEA official podcast. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you.
Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.